morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, name is all our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust.
Everyone, welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fort Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Good morning, Timotheus. Welcome back, brother.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
We were just talking about his Timotheus's trip. And why don't you share with the folks what you just shared with me about being up there looking at the sunset and all those kinds of things?
Yeah, I was flying back from Memphis to Charlotte. You have to kind of do that layover thing. And
why were you there?
For the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital.
Oh, right.
We are part of the what they call Country Cares for St. Jude Kids. Every year we do a radiothon.
Yeah.
Try to raise money for the hospital. And every January, the mid part of January, they have a radio seminar. And all the radio stations that are affiliated with that program can send different members of the radio station there, and they give us updates, and you talk to patients and that kind of thing. So
right.
It's always encouraging to go to the hospital, and you know, a worthwhile cause that just has stolen my heart. So try to do our little part here to raise the money to keep a $2.4 million a day budget going.
Wow.
Big money.
Yeah, and I think you told me it was 1.8 last year?
Year before last.
Yeah.
It's grown.
Yeah.
And but they are, I think actively right now they have 3,700 kids maybe that they're seeing.
And this money is to save lives.
It's to save children's lives.
And to improve the quality of living for these children.
Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely. With cancer or other like sickle cell disease, blood disorders, things of that nature. So, at no charge whatsoever. The patients never get a bill. Danny Thomas started it back in 1962.
Yes.
Had a dream and built it.
Wonderful.
But on my plane ride back from scheduled a later flight, so we left Memphis like at 4:17 Central Time. Coming back, I was kind of looking out the window. I wasn't in a window seat, but I was looking across the couple ladies that were sitting next to me. I couldn't help but just keep looking out there and seeing the sunset. We were 36,000 feet, is what the pilot said.
Yeah.
I'll take his word for it.
Yeah.
But I was looking out and seeing that sunset and seeing the sky and just thinking how the Lord made, just spoke it, and it came into existence.
Amen.
It never ceases to amaze me.
Amen. Amen.
Never ceases to amaze me.
And then we were saying, just before we went on the air.
Yeah, that we are the marvelous creation.
Yes, we are. As a matter of fact, he calls us his masterpiece.
Yeah.
In the King James, it talks about us being his workmanship. We are his workmanship. I think it might be the Message translation or the Message paraphrase that says, maybe it's the Living Bible paraphrase. Anyway, one of them says that we're his masterpiece. He's like an artist painting the sky and all those things. And we are his greatest achievement.
And the Bible also says that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord.
Does the Bible say that?
I think so.
What if folks really wanted to know if the Bible said some other topic? What would they? Could they find out maybe today?
Or maybe they have read something and can't understand it.
Yeah.
They could call us at 789-0318, 789-0318.
Is that the only way?
No. Or you can email us, godspointofview@yahoo.com, godspointofview@yahoo.com. Yeah. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back.
It's good to go, but it's good to come back.
Scott and I, that's a part of going, is being able to come back. I love coming back.
I do too.
We were talking about being homebound. you know, with the weather's caused a lot of people not to be able to get out. So I was talking with my secretary assistant this morning, Jessica. Jessica's been there for the last couple of days, and I said, "Do you feel like a bird been let out of the cage?" She said, "Oh yes, yes." She going out of your home and then being able to come back is what makes it such a refuge.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you're stuck there all the time,
yeah, it's not such a refuge.
Well, no, because you keep finding stuff you need to do.
Or get tired of doing the same old stuff.
Well, when we went
one
off
or the other.
One or the other. When we went off the air last week, we'd gotten, we didn't have time to address a question that came in toward the end of the program. By the way, we had a great program last week.
Good.
I want to commend Scott for his help. He was able to validate me on many sporting points that I made.
if anybody can, he's the guy.
Really wasn't sure what I was talking about, but he did.
Okay.
And so we had a good time, and I want to thank Scott for that. The question is a very simple question, and it just says, what does the Bible say about cremation? And it's a very simple answer. The Bible does not give any specific teaching about cremation. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are occurrences in the Old Testament of people being burned to death. 1 Kings 16, 2 Kings 23 are some references there. 2 Kings chapter 21. But as far as saying, thou shalt not cremate a body, or thou shalt cremate, the Bible does not issue any of those kinds of edicts. However, he's on a roll today, folks. He's been gone for a week. The Old Testament pictures cremation as something that the enemies of God did. The Israelites were never cremated in terms of their burial. They were always buried in a hole in the ground or in a cave or something.
Yeah.
The enemies of God, on occasion, because they detested God's people so desperately. By the way, the more things change, the more they remain the same.
Amen.
That's still the case on the earth.
It will always be the case.
Sure, until the Lord Jesus comes back, dating all the way back to Abraham and Sarah and Ishmael and Hagar and that party they had in the anyway. the enemies of God, when they killed one of God's servants, they would burn his body, mix it with some kind of a liquid substance, and then whitewash the inside of their homes.
Yeah.
That way they had a constant reminder that they had defeated, at that moment at least, that particular battle, God's people.
Oh, I think I could find another way. But anyway.
It was practiced. As I said, not in any common way by the Israelites. When we move into the New Testament, there's absolutely nothing about it in the New Testament. There are principles, of course.
Mm-hmm.
For centuries, the Roman Catholic Church prohibited cremation and required that bodies of the faithful, that is, members of the Catholic Church, be buried. But recently, they have a new code, recently in the last several years, a new code of canon law, it's called. It reads like this, to Catholics. Quote, "The Church earnestly recommends that the pious custom of burying the dead is observed. It does not, however, forbid cremation unless it has been chosen for reasons contrary to Christian teaching." End of quote. So, for centuries they said, no, you can't be cremated, but they've revised that. And I think as culture has changed and it's more acceptable of things, then many times churches change their law or change their requirements and they change. Mm-hmm. And yet, we have had an axiom for a number of years that says something like this: we speak where the Bible speaks and are silent where the Bible is silent.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to do that.
Now, we would be?
Christians.
Yeah.
New Testament Christians.
There you go.
You see, the Bible doesn't really speak directly to the issue of cremation. So the church takes more or less an official a quiet stand. We don't condemn it. We don't approve it. It may fall into the area in Romans chapter 14 that we call disputable matters, Romans 14, verse 1, verse 5. It's kind of meat vegetable thing. You know, some of the people who came out of paganism and had offered meat to pagan gods wouldn't eat meat when they became Christians because it offended their conscience. And they shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't eat meat in front of you if you came out of a pagan background and used it as an offering to a pagan god. And you hadn't matured yet. I, as a mature Christian, would say, okay, Jerry, don't eat meat in front of Timotheus.
No. Well, you'll never have to worry about that with me.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. That was just an illustration.
I understand that.
Yeah, that was a fictitious.
And Paul wrote a fictitious one, too. And Paul wrote about that in Corinthians, too. Explained it a little.
Yeah, he did. He really did. The issue in the first century wasn't so many things that we deal with today, disputable matters. It was meat and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
We think that sounds kind of silly.
Yeah, but to them, it's a big deal.
To them, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
And so cremation, again, and we've tried to be consistent in this without letting our personal bias enter, although it's hard not to do, and I always like to include what I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But cremation is a matter of individual choice. I'm asked that question a lot among the elderly. What do you think about cremation?
Mm-hmm.
Cremation reduces skyrocketing costs of funerals.
Yeah.
And it's understandable why a large number of people, as a matter of fact, some recent statistics about that would seem to indicate that cremation keeps increasing. The percentage of people over the years keeps going up, something like maybe 50-some percent now are being cremated. In some areas of the country, it's 75%.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to buy a burial plot. You don't have to worry about, and I'm not trying to push anybody or say, you know, you need to be cremated.
You're trying to influence me tomorrow.
I'm not trying to influence anybody, but I mean, as you was talking about, the facts are you don't, the headstone, the upkeep of the cemetery,
sure,
the caskets, the vault, all that kind of stuff is non-existent with a cremation.
Yeah.
So, but that brings up an interesting point, and I don't know if you're done with this, but there's a lot of things in our culture, in our lives, that the Bible is quiet. How do we deal with those kinds of things, Jerry?
Well, we look for principles. We look for a principle. Someone observed, and this is something, again, that has been adhered to, or we've tried to adhere to it. We know the Bible teaches things by commands.
Mm-hmm.
You have a direct command to do something or not to do something.
Thou shalt not steal.
We don't have to wonder about that. That's wrong in both Old and New Testament.
Yeah.
Secondly, an example. For instance, early church took up a collection on the first day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
We have an example of that. That's not the only time we can take up a collection, because most collections were special collections.
Mm.
Paul was on missionary journeys, and he would stop by and he'd say, I'm going to be there now, so have that contribution ready. Lay by in store. I don't want there to be any gatherings when I come.
Yeah.
So we have sometimes special offerings, and those are certainly biblical. The Corinthian church, upon the first day of the week, that's an example of them giving, when they took the Lord's Supper. Now, all churches don't partake the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, but I'll assure you this, they all take up a collection on the first day of the week.
And got to pay that light bill, brother.
Yeah, and I'm not making any point there, although it's pretty obvious where I was going with that. But anyway, consistency, the hour to jewel, someone once said, if we're going to be consistent in one area, we ought to try to be consistent in the other area.
Yeah.
Anyway, example, command, example, or inference. Now, if something is inferred, here's an example of that, back to the collection. Paul said, lay it up in store. If you're going to lay it up in store, it's inferred, I believe, that you got to have a place to put it.
That's true.
And so it's either dig a hole in the ground, put it in a tin can and bury it, or put it under your mattress, or put it in the bank for us today.
Yeah,
that type of thing.
There we go.
So anyway, we look for those things.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many gray areas in the Bible, as we mentioned a moment ago, the disputable matters.
Yep.
Don't try to. Who are you that judges another man's servant? The Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
God's able to make him stand. So this is where legalism runs rampant. Legalism, let me define it for you, Timotheus, and our listeners.
I need it.
Legalism is when I make my convictions your responsibility.
Mm.
I have a strong conviction about this or that, and it's your responsibility to carry it out.
Mm.
You may not have that same conviction.
No.
And on disputable matters, I'm to leave those things alone.
Yeah.
And so back to the cremation issue, traditionally Christians have regarded cremation with some suspicion about, you know, burning the dead as a practice by pagans. And I, as I explained a moment ago, no suspicion to it. It was, in fact, used by pagans. Some people are fearful that if you burn the body, then how's God going to get the ashes back together?
Well, I was going to bring that point up. I have heard people say that.
Yeah.
You know, if the Lord comes back, well, back before embalming, you know, bodies are going to decay.
Sure.
And if the Lord made us from the dust to begin with, man, then why couldn't he resurrect a body that was either ashes or decayed?
Absolutely. He created it from the dust. He can send it. He can resurrect it from the dust, regardless of how it decayed.
Going to be a new body anyway.
So, what does the Bible say about cremation? Just that.
Yeah. And by the way, our bodies today aren't going to be like our spiritual bodies. It's going to be different.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. If you look at Jesus as the example, you see that.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
This causes a lot of people concern, this statement. Jesus has a flesh and blood body. Jesus has a physical body. Exactly how, what it looks like, exactly what it's going to be, we're not sure. John said in 1 John 3:1, we're not sure about that. But he has a body, and he's forever been consigned in a body.
Mm-hmm.
In Acts chapter 1, he left in a body. And the angels that were there said, this same Jesus, not a proxy, not a substitute, this same Jesus shall appear in like manner as you see him. See him go into heaven. So we have a body. Oh, mercy, yes. Yes, 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 yes.
Don't give me shouting here.
Yeah, go ahead, brother. You deserve one shout. At least you've been gone for a while. 7890318. Give us a call with your comments about cremation, how you feel about that, or send us an email like the brother did last week on cremation.
Yeah.
Timotheus.
Yes, sir.
Last week we talked about Tua Tagovailoa.
Oh, yeah, the quarterback.
Yeah, I'm trying to impress you.
You did.
Yeah, yeah. I really practiced.
I'm lucky to be able to hear it.
I really practiced that. Yeah. But I was so pleased and just elated at this young man for his faith in Christ and gave God glory.
There you go.
I mean, he said, my Lord and Jesus, I want to praise my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory goes to God. Tim Tebow, you know, he'd been criticized royally for doing the same thing. He, by the way, he's still doing it. Bless his little heart. and then there's this, Ryan Shazer. You know that name?
No.
Ryan Shazer.
Nope.
Pittsburgh Steelers. Scott and I talked about this last week. And he had an injury, and was out for some time. And he came back and did just a phenomenal job. And let's see, Pittsburgh Steelers teammate practiced. He was at practice yesterday, prepared for Sunday's playoff. This is dated a little bit, the 10th, 11th of January. But anyway, football fans will know his name. He said, "I want to thank the Lord." for the first downs that he's allowing me to achieve. The touchdown, it's going to come in his timing, but today was the first down. I was finally able to make it to practice with my teammates, and then he added this, the Lord has not finished his work yet.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love that. I love that.
It's interesting you say that, because I met a young man down in Memphis that was a tackle. He is, I should say, a tackle for the Cleveland Browns. Sean Coleman, number 72, was the guest speaker.
Yeah.
When he was 17 years old, he was in high school playing football, had a scholarship to Auburn University, and they found out that he had leukemia.
Wow.
3.5 years of treatment at St. Jude. He's about 6'8", I guess, big boy.
Yeah.
Saw pictures of him laying off the gurneys for the hospital. But anyway. They held his scholarship. He is cancer free. He went to Auburn and played, and now he is a tackle for the Cleveland Browns, number 72. And he said some questions were asked of him. They asked how he got through it. He said, "My faith."
I love it.
And it was very interesting. Got a chance to meet him and told him how much I admired him. A young man like that believed and is not ashamed to tell that his faith and prayer healed him. So,
amen.
Great stories.
And then there's this, this fella, and Scott had helped me with this, Stephen Curry.
Yeah, that's, I laugh because my grandsons are big fans.
Yeah.
Because he plays basketball, but other issues, but yeah. I always call him Stephen.
Yeah.
My grandsons don't like that.
They will correct you, won't
they? They will correct me.
He's been ranked the second best NBA player of all time after Michael Jordan. Think about that.
Yeah.
And yet, when you want to know what his priorities are, listen to this. Quote, whether it is winning games, losing games, making shots, missing shots, it's all about giving glory to God. Think about that. My. This reinforces the Christian's faith today. Any young person, it ought to reinforce your faith. If you love sports, basketball, football.
Baseball.
Baseball. Been bad good to me. If you love sports, these are the role models.
Yeah.
These are the role models.
Yeah.
And so, I just love it. I think it's wonderful. Don't follow role models who mess around with stuff like this.
Yeah, okay.
Jack in the Box. I've never eaten at a Jack in the Box.
I haven't either.
Celebrates marijuana with Merry Munchie Meal.
Merry Munchie Meal.
I have a 3M Merry Munchie Meal. Not to be confused with 3M Manufacturing Company, 3M Tape or anything like that.
Okay.
Merry Munchie Meal. That's Jack in the Box. They're mostly on the West Coast, aren't they?
I suppose.
Anyway,
been there.
January the 1st, that's just been to Mothis?
18 days ago.
18 days ago, California began selling recreational marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
You know about that,
Heard about it.
Lines formed outside all over the place.
What are you trying to say anyway about me?
Well, here's what I'm trying to say. You keep up with stuff. You know about stuff.
I got you. You
read a lot.
Just curious.
And I'm satisfied that this book I'm about to use as my source, you probably keep it on your nightstand. Now, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
CDC.
Yeah, you got it. See there, folks? Marijuana used significantly, for all you folks who can't make up your mind or you just have closed your mind, maybe you're smoking too much weed. I'm just saying. Listen to what the CDC says.
I can't believe you said that.
I just did.
I know.
Marijuana, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm trying to use a little humor with something that's very serious, I know. But marijuana use significantly increases the risk of heart attacks and strokes and has been connected with cancer. Long-term use of marijuana, like George Ramey said one time to me, he said, I don't remember the 60s. Because George was kidding.
Yeah.
Long-term use of marijuana negatively affects brain development. So there you go with young kids.
Yeah.
It also harms the lungs. 1 in 10 marijuana users will become addicted to the drug. Addicts may be at high risk of problems with attention, memory, and learning. According to the CDC website, which I know is one of your favorites, you have it bookmarked.
Every day.
Quote, marijuana users are significantly more likely than non-users to develop chronic mental disorders, including schizophrenia. Did you hear that, Timotheus? Schizophrenia. Huh. And here's the thing. The drug's also been linked to depression and anxiety. And they're coming out with these marijuana edibles.
Is this part of the Jack in the Box thing?
I suppose so, but they're everywhere. These little edibles, brownie marijuanas, and kids eat these little squishy little things.
Oh, the gummy worms.
Gummy worms. They're putting it in those. They pose even a greater risk of poisoning, and I'm told that marijuana secondhand smoke is a problem. To babies and children. So, Colorado has liberalized, marijuana laws. And there have been more car crash fatalities. Folks, do your homework on these things before you put something in your body that defiles you. Please, please. Use not only biblical sense, but use some common sense. God gave us a mind, and he wants us to use it.
Yeah.
789-0318, or they could email us, couldn't they, Timotheus?
godspointofview@yahoo.com. They better do it pretty quick, though.
Yeah.
You better hurry up. 5 minutes left.
You better hurry up now, folks. Timotheus, a radical, that's the words fail me here, a radical vision of three things: abortion rights, mm-hmm. homosexuality, mm-hmm. and euthanasia.
Mm.
Being practiced now in Canada.
Euthanasia?
They're pushing this really, really wow. Energetically.
This is the country with free health care.
Yeah, they're just over us, you know.
Yeah.
They've been hovering over us for years.
Just above us, a piece.
Yeah. They have a radical vision. The Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau,
mm-hmm.
that's the older Trudeau's boy, he's telling folks in his nation that if you're going to do anything that involves the youth, you might be opposed to abortion, but you have to have certain statements of what the government says is the rights of those people who, I don't know, maybe something like the Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or some other club or some other business. You can't do anything to deter them. You can't do anything to stop them. The same as with homosexuality. The same as with euthanasia. A couple of weeks ago, Timotheus and folks, Australia, the government of Australia, made it legal for homosexuals, just like the United States has done.
Yeah.
And I'm told that I'm reading
for
that,
marriage. Is that
sure?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, homosexual marriage. And vendors for weddings and cakes and tuxes.
Are forced.
And tuxes. Notice I didn't say...
tuxedos.
Tuxes and wedding gowns and wedding gowns.
And tuxes.
I mean, they're expecting just a phenomenal increase in business. And this is what everybody's so excited about is that they're becoming more... The rights of the individual as being observed when everything else, and the same is true with euthanasia, that people ought to be able to die with dignity.
Mm-hmm.
If that means giving them something that will take their life or letting them take their life, that's fine. And not only that, Timotheus and folks, but congregations who have decided that homosexuality and homosexual marriages are all right, their congregations are growing by leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
So someone was wondering not long ago about, you know, why aren't we growing? Why aren't we doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't we if you adhere to biblical standards, now I'm not saying this is a reason for not wanting to grow. I'm just saying that it's a truism that in this culture, people, especially younger people, find what the Bible says about these things as being restrictive.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And consequently, they will not fellowship. They will not participate. They will not become a part of a congregation that wants to follow the old paths.
Well, it help me and make sure I'm right here. In Timothy, doesn't it speak? Paul talks to Timothy about the itching ears, what they want to hear.
Are you quoting the Bible?
False doctrine and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that those things have been foretold for years,
yes,
and years and years and years, yes, and now we're seeing it actually evolve.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly what the scriptures teach. And we have to stick with the Bible. Our whole lives have been committed to the Bible.
Yeah.
Not only lives here, but in eternity.
Folks, we want to thank you for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View. We'd like to invite you to services at the church. Of course, Sunday school gets underway at 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning. Sunday morning worship service gets underway at 10:30 a.m. Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Life groups Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Don't want to forget about that. And again, you can join us next Thursday at 10:30 a.m. for another edition of God's Point of View. Thanks again for joining us today.